we are Team Jesus, and I want to lead by example, taking up our cross, what that means. It's not about us. It's never been about us. It's always about Jesus Christ, and that is what Jesus is calling us to today. We've been in the series Truth in a Truth-Denying World. How crazy it is getting out there. Truth is a thought, statement, or opinion that lines up with reality. Because everyone today wants to have their own truth, and it just doesn't work. Truth is truth for all people in all places and all times. It never changes. No matter what people may believe about it, truth never changes. We've been looking at the main problem today. The main problem in our society and around the world is this. There is no authority but yourself. You come up with your own truth. You get to decide. And everyone else has to accept it. As crazy as it sounds. Feelings are your authority. Happiness is the goal. You cannot judge me. I can think and do whatever I want. Whatever I feel is true. May not be true for you, but it's true for me, and you must accept that. If we actually accepted that premise, culture would collapse. That's what we're seeing, our culture collapsing. Judging is ultimate sin, and it's okay to be spiritual. It's okay to believe in God, but it's really the ultimate guess. You can't tell me God is such and such, and you can't tell me what He actually teaches, and basically you can't believe in the God of the Bible. You can believe in anything else but the God of the Bible. That is the main problem today. And that's why we're seeing our culture collapse around us. The consequences of that, we went over. Next slide. All the crazy things that are happening. And just deception, insane ideologies, lawlessness, the depravity of the human heart being put out onto the world stage. Look at this headline this week. Democrat erupts over advocacy group promoting families with married mom and dad. Dangerous and un-American. Now the nuclear family is un-American. You see, Marxist ideology, socialism, hates the nuclear family. That is the real thing that's happening here. And that's being used because Satan hates the real family. Because that's what God designed. But it's just the consequences are just, it's just insane what is happening today in the world. What is the solution? Well, the solution is for God's people to what? To judge. Judging. Oh, no, the ultimate sin. And we talked about Jesus said, do not judge. And we looked at that verse last week in context, and we understand what Jesus was talking about very clearly. Do not judge as a hypocrite. Do not judge as self-righteous. And do not judge by appearance. But we are to make a judgment call. John 7:24, do not judge according to appearance, but judge with righteous judgment. With what the Word of God. We have to tell people that what they believe is wrong. That they're on this broad path that's going to lead to destruction. We have to make a judgment call. We have to say this is right and this is wrong and you need to repent. You need to come to the narrow way. If we can never make a judgment call at all, we can never share the gospel with anybody. Because the first part of the gospel is, you are a sinner and you've fallen short of the glory of God. But if you can't call sin, sin, how can you share the gospel? God never says, do not judge. He says, make righteous judgment, correct judgment. In love, but you have to warn people. You're going to have to make a stand. That's what judging is. You're going to have to make a stand in our culture for what is right and what is wrong. Even if it's going to cost you. This last week it cost a teacher. Christian teacher loses job after refusing to deceive parents on kids' gender transitions from the devil. It's a Christian teacher, California public school system here. And the schools are going behind the parents' backs and helping kids transition to a different gender, even giving them new names, and they're keeping it from the parents. She was asked, the California teacher lost her job after refusing to comply with California's district gender policy, citing her Christian belief, blowing the whistle on the expectations she felt as a teacher, not only to hide students' gender transition from parents, but also to keep them in the dark through lying. Her administrator was asking her, listen, even if they come up and ask you, you lie. because they're supposed to protect the child from the parents. It's crazy. Goes on, next slide there, Gordon. This is what was written to her. Based on your religious beliefs, you cannot be dishonest with parents, because being dishonest with parents is okay for the greater good of the child. If asked about a student's gender identity by a parent, you cannot refer the parent to a counselor, defer the inquiry, and suggest they speak with a student, or otherwise deflect the parent's inquiry, the letter signed by the assistant superintendent. The district cannot accommodate your religious beliefs, prohibit you from maintaining the student's gender identity, refrain from disclosing a student's gender identity from his or her or their parents. It goes on. So a Christian teacher got fired for making a judgment call on what is right and what is wrong in this culture. There is a cost. So we looked at the main problem, the consequences, the solution. We have to stand and make a judgment. Here's the plan. How will we do this? Go ahead, Gordon. Become the filth of the world. Become the filth of the world. Let me explain. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 8. Paul writes to this church. He's not happy with the church. The church is messed up from top to bottom. Okay? It's embracing sinfulness of all kinds, and some of the worst kinds. And they're embracing sin in justifying it by saying that they're loving. They're so loving they can overlook these people's sin, even a son sleeping with his father's wife. This church, they're getting drunk at church. People are getting there early for the dinner, eating and drinking everything up before other people can get there and even get a little. They're arguing. The division in the church is great. They're self-serving themselves. They're making church all about themselves. They're abusing the spiritual gifts. It is a church that has gone off the rails. And the Apostle Paul writes to them. He's not happy. This church is messed up. And here in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, he's being sarcastic with them. Because they think they're good. They think they're a great church. He calls them on it. He says, you're already full. You're already complete. There's no growing. You're perfect as a church. You're already rich. You have reigned as kings without us, but you guys are just awesome. And indeed, I could wish you did reign. We may also reign with you. Verse 9. For I think that God has displayed us, the apostles, last, as men condemned to death. For we have been made a spectacle to the world, both to angels and to men. We are fools for Christ's sake. But you are wise in Christ. We are weak. You are strong. You are distinguished. But we are dishonored. He's calling them out on their hypocrisy, thinking they're all that when they are none of that. And the apostles who were the true servants of God here, who were risking life and limb, who were willing to lose it all to take Jesus Christ to people. He's drawing the contrast here. You guys really think you're serving God, but you're not. You've made it all about you. Serving Christ looks like what we go through. Verse 11, to the present hour, we both hunger and thirst. We are poorly clothed, beaten and homeless, and we labor working with our own hands. Being reviled, we bless. Being persecuted, we endure. Being defamed, we entreat. We have been made as the filth of the world, the offscoring of all things until now. Offscoring is a person regarded as fallen from society, an outcast, that which is vile and despised. For the sake of the gospel, the apostles were hated by the world and even hated by some churches. Oswald Chambers, I love his book, My Utmost for His Highest, he wrote this about this very verse. These words are not an exaggeration for the apostles. The only reason they may not be true of us who call ourselves ministers of the gospel is not that Paul forgot or misunderstood the exact truth of them, but that we are too cautious and concerned about our own desires to allow ourselves to become the filth of the world. You see, a sinful church was seeing themselves as good, godly, a good church. And the apostles who were bringing the truth, who were suffering everything so people could hear the truth, they were despised, looked down upon, rejected, filthy in the eyes of the world. Paul tells us to follow in his footsteps in Scripture. But see, if we're too concerned with our own desires, our own life, what we want to do, we'll never follow in the steps of Paul, who is following in the steps of Christ. Next slide there, Gordon. We pay such close attention, Oswald Chambers continues. We pay such close attention to our own interests and desires, and we stay out of the mire and say, I won't submit. I won't bow or bend to being a disciple, to sanctification, to sharing the gospel, to standing up in a society and declaring truth. I'm not going to bend to that. I'll attend church. Oh, I'll claim Jesus. But don't ask any more than that. And you don't have to, he says. You can be saved by the skin of your teeth if you like. You can refuse to let God count you as one who is separated to the gospel. Or you can say, I don't care if I'm treated like the filth of the world as long as the gospel is proclaimed. A true servant of Jesus Christ is one who is willing to experience martyrdom or become despised by others, become the filth of the world for the reality of the gospel of God. When a moral person is confronted with contempt, immorality, disloyalty, or dishonesty, he is so repulsed by the offense that he turns away and in despair closes his heart to the offender. That's what a lot of churches have done over the years, a lot of church people. We get so high and mighty on ourselves and we think it's all about us and us being a good person, that the world sees how good we are, or the world sees what kind of how good of a pastor I am. It's shameful. We can get that way. And then what's really happening with the sinful world, we think we're above it, we're self-righteous, we just shut ourselves off from it. We judge those people in a self-righteous way, which is not good. And we kind of want to distance ourselves, keep ourselves clean from all that muck and mire out there. And we'll just create our little bubble. We'll do our own little thing because it's about us. But the miracle of the miracle of the redemptive reality of God is that the worst and the vilest offender can never exhaust the depths of His love. Oh, let us never forget that. Paul did not say that God separated him to show what a wonderful man he could be if could make of him. It's not about us. It's not about my reputation as a pastor. I think God allowed me to be hit by the enemy to bring this message home to me, the one who sat down and wrote it. It's not about us, folks. If we've been truly born again, saved by the blood of the Lamb, we are to live in such a way it's going to honor Him, honor Jesus Christ, be loyal to the truth of God and His Word. But if we do so, we're going to be despised, hated. If we stand up with righteous judgment in an unrighteous world, if we stand up for the truth and there's only one truth, if we stand up for the truth, Jesus Christ, in a truth-denying world, you're going to be hated and despised. And you're going to be looked down on as the filth of the world. But I think we'll be in good company. The apostles. And let's look at Isaiah 53:3. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we did not esteem him. He was nothing. He was nothing. God in human flesh, the precious Lamb of God, to the world He was nothing. To us in our lives before we came to Him, He was nothing. Verse 4, surely He has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Do you know why He was in such a lowly position? Why He was there? Because of us. He was carrying our sin, our shame, our guilt. He left His place on high to become the suffering servant of Israel who would be despised by the world. Because of us. And look what it says. Yet we esteemed Him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. Do you know what that means? People were judging Him that He was evil, that God was punishing Him. When He was carrying our shame and our guilt. How high and mighty we are to judge the Son of Man. Jesus said this in John 13, for I've given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Most assuredly I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent him. It was okay for Jesus to be despised and rejected. We should be okay with it as well. If people want to think we're the filth of the world, so be it. It's not about us anyway. Today in the church, many want to experience God instead of know God. There's a big difference. One is the way God designed. He wants you to know Him. To experience means you're wanting to be entertained. You're wanting to have the supernatural all the time. And that's not what God calls us to, these mountaintops. People want to stay in a church somewhere for days on end to experience the goodness and the blessing and the holiness. No, God calls us to labor in the fields. God calls us to become the filth of the world. It's not about us getting stuff from God. It's about us walking in the footsteps of Jesus Christ. But people want to experience God. They want to feel the love and the blessing all the time. They just want to feel good all the time. They want to have those mountaintop experiences all the time. They want to be entertained with signs and wonders nowadays in the church. They want to be seen as great people. They want to show how many gifts they have and what they can do. And oh, they can pray over you and can heal you. And they can do this and they can prophesy. And they can do all these because they're so holy. To be famous. To be seen as really holy and blessed. Many today want to have their best days now in the church. God blessing them with wealth and health. It's not what Jesus did. It's not what the apostles did. 1 Corinthians 4 again. They were hungry. They were thirsty. They were poorly clothed. They were beaten and homeless. They labored. They worked. They were reviled. They were persecuted. They were defamed. They were the filth of the world. They were offscoring. Jesus said this in John 15. Remember the word that I said to you. A servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. But all these things they will do to you for my name's sake. Next slide there. Jesus was willing to become the filth of the world to save us. The apostles were willing to become the filth of the world to save others. Question. Are you willing to become the filth of the world to save others? As we close, I need to point out one more thing. It is something I should have done at the beginning of this service. We got to become the filth of the world. And in doing so, you have to guard your heart. Got to guard your heart. Proverbs 4:23 says, keep, some of your translations say guard, keep guard your heart with all diligence. Christ is in you. Holy Spirit is in you. Guard your heart. Because this world will try to beat you up. The enemy will try to beat you up. They'll try to get your heart to turn from your Lord. They'll try to get your heart to look inward and look to self. And we're all capable of doing it if we're not careful. If we don't guard what God has given us. Guard your heart against anger so that we lose compassion. People start calling us enough names and calling us, we're racist just because you have white colored skin, or it doesn't even matter nowadays. You can be black and be a racist. But it's just going so crazy. But with people attacking us for trying to stand for the truth and calling us all these terrible things and homophobes and transphobes and all these terrible racist things, we can get angry. We can start losing our compassion. And we can start seeing these people as the enemy. And they're not. They're deceived. Just like we used to be deceived. Before Christ came to us. Guard your heart against anger. Guard your heart against hate. If so much hate is thrown at you, it can start to sprout in you back. And we can't do it. We can't. Guard your heart against racism. If you're called something long enough, sometimes it starts to set up in you. And you can start to feel that every black person out there looks at you as racist. And so you kind of eye them suspiciously. Don't let it. Don't let it happen. Guard your heart. Guard your heart from fear. Fear of maybe personal harm, personal loss, loss of a job. Fear of your reputation. Just let our reputations go. We're to become the filth of the world, and if people want to despise us and look down upon us for standing for what God asked us to do, so be it. Guard your heart. Never allow yourself to start to see yourself better than what you are. Yes, we are believers. Yes, we are servants of God. Yes, we are being used by God. But without God, we would be nothing. We would be nothing. Do we not understand that and believe that? Without God, we would be nothing. So who are we to feel people should look at us and think good things? I'm almost done, Luke. Don't worry, buddy. Quickly, Psalms 141. Lord, I cry out to you. Make haste to me. Give ear to my voice when I cry out to you. Let my prayer be set before you as incense, the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifices. Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the doors of my lips. Do not incline my ear to any evil thing, to practice wicked works with men who work iniquity, and do not let me eat of their delicacies. Guard your heart, folks. The world is going to hit us. The world wants us to turn and look at ourselves. The whole world is being consumed with narcissism now. And it wants to claim us. It tried to claim me this morning, so I took this service and made it about myself. I'm ashamed. Guard your when you're called every name in the book. Speak words of love. Don't revile back. Be slow to anger, and when you have anger, make sure it's righteous. Don't be unloving, but be full of grace in the eyes and in the face of evil, of hate. Philippians 4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. We got to show a supernatural response to hate. To being despised, to being looked down upon. You got to remember who you are in Christ, what you have in Christ, that you know God, that you're sealed with the Holy Spirit. You're going to have to hold on to that joy of the Lord, because soon it might be all we have left. And we got to stand against the evil in a Christ-like fashion, as the apostles did, and many, many, many saints before us. Rejoice, Lord, always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through Jesus Christ. Jesus was willing to become the filth of the world to save us. Praise God. The apostles were willing to become the filth of the world to save others. We're included in that because we have their word that they gave their life to pen and share. We have the word of God because of them. We have the church because of them. They were obedient to their master and they went and did what he asked them to do. The question remains today. Are we willing to become the filth of the world to save others? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, team, come on up. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you that you teach us humbleness. And sometimes it's private, sometimes it's public. But you are kind and gentle when you do it. Lord, we all need humbleness. It's not natural for most of us. It's not natural for the human heart. The human heart likes to rebel. But Lord, if we are truly going to follow you, if we're truly going to show the world something supernatural in the love that we have, we're going to have to humble ourselves. We're going to have to lay our lives, our reputations, our very futures at your feet to become, as Paul put it, a living sacrifice. We're going to have to stand for truth in a world that denies it. And we can do this, Lord, through you. You can strengthen us. You can guide us. You can equip us. Lord, I ask you to help us do it. But it's going to take all of us, not just some of us, all of us. Help us to follow in your steps and in the steps of the apostles. Let us join that great cloud of witnesses that surround us. Let us join the ranks of the faithful, the church that has followed you always, faithful to the end. Your will be done. We thank you, Lord, for letting us be a part of what the world considers filthy. It's humbling, Lord, to be grouped with the apostles and with you. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord, to live lives worthy of you. And we pray this in your name. Amen. Let's sing this last song as we go.
My joy, my righteousness.
through Him we can do all things. Let's go out on the playing field of the world. They need us out there, whether they realize it or not. There's lost souls, there's people in deception, and there's very few sharing the truth, because very few are willing to pay the cost. We should be willing to pay the cost, because Christ paid the cost for us, and the disciples paved the way with their cost. We don't know how much time we have left. I know we don't have enough time to be thinking about ourselves. The need out there is great for us to be the church, to be Team Jesus, to take up that cross and die to self, and let's go serve our Lord. Amen? Let's break out of here on the count of three. One, two, three. Great. Let's go.